We celebrate today a relatively recent dogma of the faith. In fact, it's probably the most recent defined dogma that we have. But the belief of the church in the assumption of Our Lady into heaven, body and soul, is something that goes back 2,000 years. In every age since the time of Christ, the most learned saints and theologians have expressed their belief that Our Lady's body was raised from the dead after her death and taken up into heaven, where she is at this very moment. This belief has been so consistent over the centuries because it is so much in accord with everything else that our faith teaches. We can hardly think about Mary's great dignity as Mother of God and the fact that her son is God himself, without drawing the conclusion that our Lord would have brought her body up into heaven after death. How could he refuse her this great dignity? And our Lord was certainly able to do this for her. In fact, this mystery is mentioned in Scripture itself. It prophesied this in the Psalms, in fact, in the Old Testament. In Psalm 131, it says, "Arise, O Lord, in your resting place, you and the ark to which you have sanctified." So what was the Ark of the Covenant? It was a chest in the Old Testament that represented God. And Our Lady is called the Ark of the Covenant in her litany because she contained God within her. So this psalm says that both our Lord rises to the place of eternal rest and the ark that has contained him as well, which of course is Our Lady herself. And the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament was made out of cedar wood, which doesn't rot. And in the same way, Our Lady's body did not corrupt in the tomb in the short time that she was there before her assumption into heaven. St. Anthony of Padua gave a sermon for the Feast of the Assumption, which, as you can see, is a very ancient feast since he lived in the 12th century. And he said in this sermon that the words of Isaiah, "I will glorify the place of my feet," is also proof of Our Lady's assumption. Our Lord took his flesh from Our Lady, including his feet, and he is saying there that he will glorify the place where he was conceived by resurrecting Our Lady's body and bringing it to heaven. A little bit later in the Middle Ages, St. Albert the Great taught this doctrine as well of Our Lady's assumption, and he used many proofs from sacred scripture and the early fathers of the church and from the liturgy itself and even just from simple logic to prove that Our Lady was assumed into heaven. He gave a sermon on the Feast of the Annunciation about the words of the angel when he said, "Hail, full of grace." And St. Albert said that the fact that Our Lady was full of grace meant that she was exempt from the curse of sin and the punishments of sin. And of course, death is the great punishment of sin. And even though Our Lady did die, her body did not remain in that state of death any more than our Lord remained dead for more than just over 2 days. So the same thing happened with Our Lady. Both of them had no sin ever on their soul. So therefore, neither of them stayed long term in the tomb. St. Bonaventure, another doctor of the church, also held it as completely certain that Our Lady was never corrupted in the tomb for the same reason that God preserved her from any form of violation of her body. By preserving her always as a virgin during her life, even after she gave birth to our Lord. And so he says for the same reason, God would never have allowed her body to become corrupted or to disintegrate in the tomb. And he believed that Our Lady's body had to be in heaven because the soul being separated from the body is not a complete person. A person is composed of body and soul. And the souls, even of the saints in heaven now, without their bodies, are there in an imperfect state. Because human nature is designed to be made out of both body and soul. And he said that Our Lady's blessedness in heaven would not have been complete unless she had her body there as well. And God would not have deprived her of this complete blessedness until the universal resurrection. God certainly gave her body back so that her body could be glorified and enjoy the happiness of heaven along with her soul. In the 15th century, a little bit later, St. Bernardine of Siena studied thoroughly everything that the medieval theologians had said about Our Lady's Assumption, and he completely agreed with everything they said. And he even added his own arguments to what they had said as to why Our Lady must have been assumed into heaven. And he said that we can't imagine that Our Lady would be separated from her Son, or that any part of her could be anywhere except where Christ was. It is impossible for us to imagine that her body would remain away from the glorified Christ. And he said also that after the redemption, it's fitting that there should be not only the glorified body of a man in heaven, but also the glorified body of a woman as well, so that together they would represent the whole human race. And last of all, he said, and this is a really strong argument for this doctrine, he said that the Church has never made any attempt to look for the relics or the tomb of Our Lady, and has never proposed the tomb of Our Lady for the veneration of the faithful. Despite the fact that the Church venerates the tombs of every saint that she knows about, which includes the tombs of all the apostles, of even tombs of the contemporaries of Our Lady. So to this day, the Church honors the tombs of all of the apostles, and even of other biblical figures, including the three kings that adored the baby Jesus, who are buried in Germany. The tombs of other scriptural figures, like St. Mary Magdalene, whose tomb is given great honor in France, or the father of St. John the Baptist, whose tomb is in Venice. If the Church can preserve even the tomb of Abraham, who lived almost 2,000 years before Christ, which is still venerated and the location is still known, even though unfortunately it's a mosque now, but still, certainly, then the Church has preserved and venerated the tombs of most of the ancient saints. The Church even preserved the tomb of Jonas the prophet of the Old Testament, who lived 800 years before Christ, till unfortunately his tomb was blown up in the year 2014 by Islamic fanatics after surviving almost three millennia. But how could the Church have possibly lost track then of the tomb of the Blessed Virgin Mary to such an extent that we have no record of any place where her body might be lying? This is impossible. And the only explanation is that her body has long since left this earth, and the Church has always been perfectly aware of that fact. Actually, there is a tomb of Our Lady outside Jerusalem that has been venerated since ancient times, but that tomb is empty. But it is preserved by tradition as the place where her body lay for a short time after her death and before her assumption into heaven. A little bit later than St. Bernardine, we have St. Robert Bellarmine, another doctor of the Church, who expresses what we are all thinking when he says, who could believe that the Ark of Holiness, the dwelling place of the Word of God, and the temple of the Holy Ghost could be reduced to ruin? He says, my soul is filled with horror at the thought that this virginal flesh, which has begotten God, had brought him into the world and had nourished and carried him, could have been turned into ashes or could have been given over to be the food of worms. And St. Francis de Sales says quite simply, what son would not bring his mother back to life and bring her into paradise after her death if he could? Obviously, every son would want to do that, including Jesus Christ, and he was certainly able to do this. Therefore, he must have done it. And St. Alphonsus Liguori says that it would have been a dishonor to our Lord if the body of his mother had become corrupt, from whom he had received his own flesh. The arguments in favor of Our Lady's Assumption are so strong, and the tradition is so clear and unbroken, that even centuries before the dogmatic definition of the Assumption in 1950, almost half a millennium before that, in fact, St. Peter Canisius, another doctor of the Church, he could say that this teaching has been accepted for so many centuries, and it has been taught by the entire Church for so long, that anyone who would deny that Mary's body has been taken up into heaven should not even be listened to, but such people should be denounced as argumentative and filled with a spirit that is heretical rather than Catholic. For all these reasons, and all the reasons that these great saints believed in this doctrine, long before it was defined by the Church, it is unthinkable that Our Lady, filled with grace, who brought our Lord into the world and gave him her own flesh, could ever lie decaying in a tomb. We must believe that Our Lady was exempt from original sin and its effects, that she must have overcome death and had her body taken up into heaven, where she sits now in unimaginable glory at the right hand of her Son. For all these reasons, when Pope Pius XII was considering whether to define the Assumption as a dogma of faith, he wrote a letter to every bishop in the world, which is more than 2,000 bishops, and he asked them if they thought that he should define this dogma as divinely revealed. And he says that the response was practically a unanimous and enthusiastic yes. This mystery is not only part of our faith, but it is something that greatly inspires us with veneration for Our Lady and shows us her great dignity and worthiness before God, that she could merit such an incredible privilege as this, something unique in the history of the world, apart from Christ himself. This feast fills us with love and confidence towards Our Lady because we see her great privilege with God. It makes us want to place ourselves under her protection, under the protection of someone of such great power and honor, and it fills us with a desire to share in this same privilege as well at the end of the world, at the general resurrection. We want to see our own bodies glorified at the end of the world, along with hers. And we live in a world today where the body is glorified, but in a diabolical way. The pleasures of the flesh are held up today as the highest good that we can ever aspire to have. And this drags more souls down into hell than any other sin, as Our Lady told us. What a very different concept we get of the body on this feast day today, that our body is something to be used in the service of God, as Our Lady used hers, and of the great glory and reward that our bodies will receive after death, at the general resurrection, if we give our bodies to God in this life. Our bodies are destined for and designed for the glory of heaven, and not the gratifications of this world. We have to look to higher things than the things of this world. But our belief in Our Lady's Assumption should inspire us at the same time with the confidence in the resurrection of the body and the belief that God can and will raise our bodies to glory one day at the end if we are worthy of it, if we die in sanctifying grace. Let us think about all these things every time we say the fourth glorious mystery of the Rosary and be filled with a longing and a desire for heaven. The desire for the glory that both our body and our soul will have one day if we save our souls. And most of all, we have to have desire to see our Lord and Our Lady in glory in heaven forever. Let us pray to Our Lady to help us earn this immense reward by avoiding sin and persevere to the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.